Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
Issues in 30 days, issue 19, legal immigration. You know, we hear so much about the candidates' positions on illegal immigration, we thought we would approach the topic in a slightly different way. Think about it. No one would care about how much illegal immigration there is if we didn't want to limit the amount of legal immigration. So how many people a year should the United States allow to move here? How many from Mexico, the birthplace of 60% of our current undocumented population? How many from the rest of the world? And which immigrants? Based on family ties, professional skills, or what? On the campaign trail, Mitt Romney probably confuses many people when he advocates for legal immigration.
The right course for our immigration system is to say we welcome people who want to come here legally. We're going to have a system that makes that easier and more transparent.
Easier. So let's talk about legal immigration and the presidential race. My first guest for this is the former foreign minister of Mexico, Jorge Castaneda. He served in that position from 2000 to 2003. He is now a Latin America and Caribbean studies professor at NYU. He joins us today from Sao Paulo. Professor Castaneda, thank you for coming on for this. Welcome back to WNYC.
It's a pleasure, Brian, as always. Thank you for having me.
You wrote an article about the numbers in the Times in June that reminded us the current flow is not what most people think. Illegal immigration has actually sunk to near zero, mostly because of the economy recently. But legal immigration is bringing about 160,000 Mexicans a year moving permanently to the U.S. and another 500,000 a year as legal temporary workers. This is out of about 1 million legal permanent resident immigrants total a year to the United States, all nationalities. What do you make of the continuing demand for legal immigration while undocumented immigration is drying up from Mexico?
Well, it's hard to say because all of this has coincided, obviously, with the economic downturn or stagnation in the United States, at least from 2009 onward. Particularly in, for example, the construction industry, which is one of the main destinations for illegal undocumented immigration from Mexico. So what we do know is that there seem to be communicating vessels. If legal immigration goes up, documented immigration goes up, whether permanent or temporary, undocumented tends to go down. We don't know what's going to happen when the U.S. economy, and particularly the construction industry, picks up, if it ever does, because we don't know whether the demand for low-skilled, low-wage labor in that industry will be filled by people with papers or by people without papers. But this notion that, one, immigration from Mexico has stopped because of deteriorated conditions in the U.S. because of discrimination and greater security, and because of improved conditions in Mexico, is simply not true. What is true is that for reasons that are difficult to fathom, the Obama administration has increased deportations and also increased visas for Mexicans. It's a somewhat contradictory stance, which they've been very quiet about, but it's not a negative stance, at least as far as the increase in visas is concerned.
Well, let's talk about what might be ideal from the U.S. standpoint. Mexico is generally the country from which the most legal immigrants come each year by far, with more than 100,000 a year, followed by India, the Philippines, and China with about 40,000 to 50,000 each. Does that ratio make sense for the United States as a matter of national policy, in your opinion? Why should Mexico get that many of the legal immigration slots?
Well, it's rational because, as I say, if people coming from Mexico don't come with papers, they will come without papers because they can. It's very difficult to swim across the Pacific from India or the Philippines. It's not that difficult, though it's dangerous to cross the what Americans call the Rio Grande and we in Mexico call the Rio Bravo, especially when it's dry.
Of course, that assumes that the U.S. never could control the border.
Well, or that it is not willing to pay the price of controlling it when the U.S. economy is doing well. I don't think the U.S. is willing to pay that price because it's very expensive in terms of the number of Border Patrol agents, in terms of building the fences, the sensors, in terms of human rights violations at the border and in the hinterland in the U.S., in terms of a series of things. Yes, well, I can assume that since over the past 100 years, the U.S. has never really controlled the border, it probably never will. In the same way that it has never controlled the border with regard to drugs, and I think it's safe to assume it never will. So the next question is, given that, should there be more Mexicans than others or not? There are more Mexicans, period. I think the real question is whether they should be legal or without papers. And I think the answer to that is it's preferable for everybody for them to be legal.
Our next guest will be Roy Beck from the group Numbers USA, which wants to drastically reduce legal immigration to a nominal figure. He says we've been allowing in about 1 million legal immigrants a year, more than the Ellis Island days and much higher than the historical average of about 230,000, many of which folks came during the times that the country had less economic pressure and wasn't even entirely settled for some of that time. Does he have a point that we're at historic highs at a time when it may not make economic sense?
That depends which numbers you look at, whether, for example, the percentage of foreign-born individuals in the United States today is at one of its highest levels since the 1920s, probably. That is true in terms of the stock. In terms of the flow, it's important to place this in perspective. The United States today is a country of 320-odd million people, inhabitants. 100 years ago or 80 years ago, it had less than half that amount. So just looking at absolute numbers, not in relation to the total population, is somewhat misleading. Mm-hmm. So I think that's a second point that's important. Now, what level of immigration does the United States need? It depends what kind of jobs Americans are willing to do and at what wages. You say, well, there would be Americans who would work in meatpacking plants in Iowa or washing dishes in New York City restaurants during the summer with no air conditioning if they were paid a lot of money to do so. First of all, we don't know that as a fact. But let's suppose that were true. What does that necessary wage for them to work at mean? How much money are we talking about to wash dishes in New York?
So in that context, is there a right number of legal immigrants? Is there a right number of legal immigrants from Mexico per year, in your opinion? Or would you advocate basically the libertarian position of effectively open borders and let the market decide?
I tend to prefer the idea that the markets decide, because I think this notion that some people have come up with, including former Labor Secretary Ray Marshall, working with the AFL-CIO and others, of a commission to sort of fix quotas depending on the performance of the economy and different sectors of the economy might work, but it could also be very bureaucratic and very interventionist in the market and then get it wrong on occasion. But the market does tend to clear. In other words, when there are a number of Mexicans coming in to fill the jobs that need to be filled at those wages at which Mexicans were willing to work for, because they're much better wages than what Mexicans make in Mexico, that ends up working rather well. If the wages begin to decline in the U.S. because there's too many Mexicans entering the U.S. for the jobs available, then the wage differential will also shrink, and then less people will come from Mexico. It sounds a bit complicated, but there is a certain correcting mechanism at work here. If you're able to keep it more or less to Mexicans and a few small countries from Central America, which has been the case now for the past 30 or 40 years, and that's an important caveat, I agree.
That could make Americans afraid, though, that a loose immigration policy would wind up with a race to the bottom, if you will, for wages, at least in the U.S. context. Maybe wages in Mexico would rise from their extremely low position to a little bit higher, but that all that immigration or the free flow of immigrants just puts downward pressure on wages in the United States. That's why unions have historically opposed a lot of immigration.
Well, certainly if it's not legal, if people don't have papers, there is a greater tendency for a race to the bottom. If they have papers and they have greater protection, greater rights, greater possibilities of resisting pressure, downward pressure on wages. Secondly, if wages go too low, Mexicans will stop coming because it stops being worthwhile to leave the family and live under hardship conditions and 20 to a room and walking to work and in the cold when it's in the north of the United States, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. Wages go down too far, they won't come. We don't know exactly how the market works because there's always the distortion of greater or lesser border security, border enforcement, deportations, et cetera. We don't really know what would happen. What we've seen these years, and which is what my colleague Doug Massey from Princeton and I pointed out in the piece in the Times that you mentioned, that you quoted, is that if you, for whatever reason, you allow an increase in legal immigration, you also have a downturn in undocumented immigration. And that's not a bad thing for everybody involved.
I've read that two-thirds of legal immigrants are admitted on the basis of family unification because their relatives are here, followed by professional skills as a much smaller category and humanitarian reasons as smaller still, like refugees and asylees. Does that make sense as national policy? For example, the Romney website says every foreign student studying here who earns an advanced degree should be given permanent residency status. He also says many country caps are low, so the U.S. is losing some of the best and brightest to our economic competitors. And he's not talking about Mexico primarily there. Do you agree with that, what Romney said? And do you agree that two-thirds of all immigrants coming here based on family unification should be looked at again?
Well, they should be looked at, but they should be looked at given realities. For example, and this is something I know a little bit more about than the question of highly qualified immigrants from other countries. Mexicans traditionally had low naturalization rates in the United States, even when they were fully eligible. After 1996, the 10 years after the Immigration Reform and Control Act, when about 3 million Mexicans began to be able to become U.S. citizens, not very many did. Then in 1998, the Mexican government established dual nationality. That also made more naturalizations possible. And then in the decade between 2005 onward, because of President Bush's fence, because of enhanced security, because of Arizona, for a series of reasons, Mexicans began resorting to what has been called defensive naturalization. If you're a legal permanent resident, but you're scared that you're going to be profiled in the streets of Phoenix, or that you're going to lose benefits, or that you're going to be deported for a minor misdemeanor, or all sorts of things, you say, what the heck, I can become an American citizen, retain my Mexican nationality, retain my Mexican rights, let's do it. Once you do that, you can bring in next of kin, you can bring in spouse, you can bring in parents, and you can bring in children without waiting in line with the other people. And this has led to a huge increase in the number of people coming from Mexico through family reunification with American citizens, no longer with U.S. permanent residents,
right,
which are two different, very different categories.
Because that enables them. That also means more Mexicans are voting, and we're seeing that reflected in this year's presidential race. I know you have to go in 1 minute. Just tell me very briefly, as a former Mexican foreign minister, what role does Mexican emigration to the U.S. play in Mexican government policy? Critics here see it as a policy of offshoring Mexico's poverty problem as much as possible.
Well, it's never been a deliberate policy. By the way, I always thought that it should be a deliberate policy, but for legal immigration. The Philippines has a ministry of immigration. Morocco has a ministry of immigration. Turkey has a ministry or department of immigration. Mexico, at the end of the day, should also, because we're in the third or fourth country with the highest share of our population living abroad, after countries like El Salvador and Ecuador. So I think it should be a deliberate policy not to have people leave Mexico without papers, in danger, crossing the desert, et cetera, no, but to have agreements with the United States, like many Saharan countries or Maghreb countries have with the Europeans, like Turkey had with Germany for many, many years, with disadvantages. None of these agreements are perfect, by the way. But you have to compare those imperfect agreements with 6 million undocumented Mexicans in the United States and 12 million total undocumented immigrants in the United States with no papers, in the shadows, with no rights. That's the comparison, not with an ideal world which exists nowhere.
Jorge Castaneda, former foreign minister of Mexico. He served in that role 2000 to 2003. He is now a Latin American and Caribbean studies professor at NYU. Thank you so much for this conversation.
Thank you.
And we'll get another point of view in just a minute from Roy Beck from Numbers USA. We'll also play clips of Romney and Obama on legal immigration and compare their policies. Stay with us. Brian Lehrer on WNYC with our presidential election series, 30 issues in 30 days. Today, issue 19, legal immigration. We just heard from Jorge Castaneda, immigration expert and former foreign minister of Mexico. Now to Roy Beck, executive director of Numbers USA, which advocates for much lower legal immigration. Mr. Beck, welcome to WNYC.
Good morning. Thanks.
And listeners, we'll open up the phones for you. What do you think the ideal number of what kind of legal immigrants should be for this country? People from certain other nations, people with certain skill sets. What do you think the legal immigration ideal would be? 212-433-WNYC, 212-433-9692, or post to WNYC.org. Click on Brian Lehrer Show. Mr. Beck, if we're getting about a million legal immigrants a year today, I've read that number. You can tell me if that's about right. I've read that you want the legal flow reduced to what you call nominal. How low is that?
Well, we'd like to see it down as close to 100,000 as possible, but we don't believe that is possible at this point. In other words, that's something to shoot for in the future. We believe that probably about as low as we could get in the next 3 or 4 years is down to about a half million, maybe 400,000, which is what it was, 400,000 what it was in the 70s. In the 50s and 60s, it was about 250,000. And I want to quickly say this. My organization, Numbers USA, was formed to promote the recommendations of the bipartisan Commission on Immigration Reform that was appointed during President Clinton's tenure, and it was chaired by the late, great civil rights champion Barbara Jordan. And so these proposals and recommendations are not ours alone, but something that has been really well thought out. So who should come? What the commission felt, what we believe, is that Americans should continue to have the ability to marry and adopt overseas in unlimited numbers, that any immigrant who comes in for any reason should be able to bring spouse and minor children, that we should take our fair share of internationally recognized special needs refugees as a member of the international community, and thirdly, that we should be open for extraordinary skilled immigrants who can provide skills that are so special that our 310 million population can't provide. But after that, there's just really no reason for having permanent immigration. And those categories I just named currently add up to almost a half million. So if you follow the Jordan Commission recommendations, we would drop from, it's actually been running almost 1.2 million just recently, but it would drop down to about a half million. And like the Jordan Commission, we believe that this policy should have be without any regard to race or national origin. That is, there should be no discrimination in that sense. Now, there, I guess you could say there's a little bit of discrimination in the sense that our policy has caps so that every country gets a chance at this. And we don't really weigh in on that. But our big thing is that we do not believe that the nationality and the ethnicity of immigrants should be a factor in how we choose our immigrants.
Now, let me play you clips of each of the presidential candidates, since this is, a presidential election series. The Romney website, since you mentioned caps, happens to say that many country caps are low, so the United States is losing some of the best and brightest to our economic competitors. He also advocates legal immigration when he campaigns, and I think it might confuse people because it sounds like he's asking for more immigration, and I'm not sure that he should. So here is about a half a minute of Mitt Romney on the campaign trail. This is actually from an early primary debate with Newt Gingrich and others, where he's talking about immigration.
The right course for our immigration system is to say we welcome people who want to come here legally. We're going to have a system that makes that easier and more transparent, but to make sure we're able to bring in the best and brightest. And by the way, I agree with the speaker in terms of I'd staple a green card to the diploma of anybody who's got a degree of math, science, a master's degree, PhD. We want those brains in our country. But in order to bring people in legally, we've got to stop illegal immigration. That means turning off the magnets of amnesty, in-state tuition for illegal aliens, employers that knowingly hire people that have come here illegally. We welcome legal immigration. This is a party. This is a party that loves legal immigration.
Mitt Romney at one of the Republican primary debates. Roy Beck, executive director of Numbers USA, my guest. What do you understand that clip to mean when Romney promotes legal immigration? Does it mean that he wants to increase the immigration quotas?
Well, he's been rather vague about that. I don't think that is the primary thing he's trying to do. I don't think he's saying 1.2 million is not enough, we need more. But on the other hand, when you talk like that, it sure sounds like that he's insensitive to the tremendous job competition that our own unemployed. You know, he talks about the 23 million Americans who want a full-time job and can't find one, and he ought to be talking about, well, does it make sense to bring all of these 1.2 million legal immigrants in? It's not that the legal immigrants are doing nothing wrong. I mean, let's make that clear. They're simply accepting green cards that are offered. But should we be offering so many each year? So he's really fails in that front. On the other hand, he's talking what sounds like extraordinary skills. He just talks too broadly because obviously not every foreign student who gets a master's or PhD in one of these STEM fields is an extraordinary skill. It needs to be narrower than that. Especially there needs to be this principle that you always make sure that immigration is not hurting the opportunities for your own American citizens. So it's kind of troubling when he talks in those broad sense. He usually says those things immediately after he's talked tough about illegal immigration. It's sort of like, okay, to forgive me for wanting to protect American workers from illegal immigration, I just want to make it clear how much I like legal immigration.
Let me play a clip of President Obama and then tell me how different you think they are on this issue.
Stopping illegal immigration also depends on reforming our outdated system of legal immigration. We should make it easier for the best and the brightest to not only stay here, but also to start businesses and create jobs here. In recent years, a full 25% of high-tech startups in the U.S. were founded by immigrants. That led to 200,000 jobs here in America. I'm glad those jobs are here. I want to see more of them created in this country. We need to provide them the chance. We need to provide our farms a legal way to hire workers that they rely on and a path for those workers to earn legal status. And our laws should respect families following the rules, reuniting them more quickly instead of splitting them apart.
So, Roy Beck, how do you compare Romney and Obama on immigration generally, on legal immigration in particular?
Well, President Obama is even more insensitive to unemployed Americans. He does, we know from his own work in the White House, he wants higher levels of green cards. he uses the same kind of stuff. Romney will use this too, where they talk about firms. You know, 25% of firms, of these firms he's talking about, had some member of the team that founded the firm that was foreign-born. But does it suggest that those firms wouldn't be founded without? It's a more complicated issue there. But here's what's most troubling about what he's talking about is chain migration. He says we want to keep all these families united. Well, the good thing about Romney is that he has made intimations that there are categories of immigration that don't meet the national need. And he has not been nearly clear enough about this. It appears that he does not believe that we ought to continue to have chain migration. And the Jordan Commission said chain migration, the lottery, should be ended. Chain migration is something that was started only in the late 1950s. It allows immigrants who come in for some other reason, like they come in because they have a great skill or they're a refugee, and it allows them to send for their adult family, such as parents, siblings, brothers and sisters, adult children. Nothing wrong with that, except every one of them can bring their spouses, minor children. And before long, you've got cousins and aunts and uncles and nieces and nephews of the original person who came in. What the Jordan Commission said is this: what this does is it needlessly adds a lot of job competition to the most vulnerable Americans, and these people are no longer coming in on the basis of their skill. Romney has indicated some interest in following the Jordan Commission and doing away with chain migration, and also with doing away with lottery, which unfortunately the Obama administration was silent last month when the House tried to pass a bill that would actually give him these high-skilled students that he was asking for, but in exchange would have eliminated the lottery that raffles off with no criteria, raffles off $50,000 a year. And the Democratic leaders in the House and Senate scuttled that. There was a compromise going, and President Obama stood by. So we do not give Governor Romney real high marks. In fact, we don't give him high marks at all on legal immigration. We give him very high marks on what he'd do on illegal. Mm-hmm. And we give very low marks to President Obama on both issues.
And we're asking our listeners, how much legal immigration should there be to the United States? And Isabel in Highland Park, you're on the air. Hello, Isabel.
Hi. I think there should be no numbers and no caps. If they advocate for free trade and the movement of, goods and commerce, it's unfair to block the movement of labor. Working people should be allowed to move, of course, in an organized manner and with the necessary documents that they need. They should be able to move from one place to another. They should be able to work. The American economy needs these workers, and the American economy benefits from these workers, doing their job, buying and, paying taxes.
Even in a time of very high unemployment, as our guest is emphasizing?
Well, if you make it free, the free labor movement, if there are no jobs, people just go back.
Isabel, you raise a very fundamental point. First, there's a fairness point, Mr. Beck, that if we live in a world of free trade where capital can cross borders without barriers, then labor should have the right to cross borders without barriers in order to follow the jobs and be able to, play on something of a level playing field with the owners, with the capital. What about that argument?
Well, that's the argument of the most predatory of capitalists, because the capitalists are benefiting from, if they have true laissez-faire free trade, they benefit from that. They also benefit from free labor flows, which keeps the cost of labor down. But what the Jordan Commission found, this is bipartisan, as they studied for 3 years, was that the level of immigration at 1 million a year is a profound tool of injustice against the most vulnerable members of our society. It hurts most of all, of course, it hurts the people who are at the lower levels of education, both those who with high school degrees and those who don't have the high school degrees. And disproportionately, it hurts black Americans who have the highest unemployment, and most directly, it hurts Hispanic Americans who tend to live in the same geographic area, work in the same occupations.
Although our previous guest, Dr. Castaneda, argued that number one, illegal immigration is way, way down in the bad economy because people don't come if there aren't jobs to take. And for the most part, immigrants take jobs that Americans, for whatever reason, either don't want at the current wages offered or are unqualified for.
Yeah. Well, I mean, it's just simply not backed up by the facts. A lot of people seem to think that immigration, both legal and illegal, is about agriculture. Less than 5% of foreign-born workers work in agriculture. So we're talking about people who work at every level, but they heavily work in construction, service, manufacturing, transportation occupations. We have 20 million native-born Americans, and this includes of all ethnicities, who are looking for a full-time job, cannot find a full-time job. And they are specifically, disproportionately, looking for jobs in construction, service, and manufacturing, the same place where immigrants disproportionately work. There's out of about 450 occupations that the Labor Department tracks, only two are dominated by foreign-born, and that's agriculture and fingernail painting. Every other job, the fact is, the majority of people in those jobs are native-born, and there are long lines of native-born people lined up. The President Obama, yeah, the one thing that he's done well is that he's done a lot of audits of businesses that it looked like they hired a lot of illegal aliens, and he has brought fines and some imprisonment, yeah, of the owners. Every time that he's done that, of course, they have to fire all their illegal labor force. It doesn't matter what kind of job it is. Americans and legal immigrants who are already here line up to fill those jobs.
Jamesi,
we know there are people who work those jobs.
Jamesi in Manhattan, you're on WNYC. Hello.
Hi, how are you, Ron?
Okay.
Fascinating topic. I just wanted to bring in a small point here that may have been overlooked. There are currently hundreds of thousands of jobs available in the United States that, frankly, Americans are not qualified to take. My wife runs a lab at Cornell here in the city. Science, you would figure there are plenty of American candidates. The fact is there are not enough qualified American candidates, and she still continues to import great labor from Europe, Asia, on a constant basis because, frankly, someone has to get the work done.
Do you think that the laws are too restrictive and that people with those qualifications who want to come here are being locked out?
No, I think the people that have the qualifications are being allowed in. And I think that's actually a good thing. I think the issue here, we're kind of looking at it from the wrong point of view. If you had enough qualified American / native candidates to take the jobs that are available, we wouldn't be having this discussion.
So we should have an education discussion about this.
Yes, the fact is that we don't have the right type of labor force for
the
future.
Jamesi, thank you. We just have a couple of minutes, but I want to raise a couple of more things with you, Mr. Beck. One is, I live in New York City, which seems to undergo economic revitalization constantly as a result of legal immigration at a large scale. Many experts say that a key difference between New York and many other older eastern cities that are in economic decline is our immigration with housing and neighborhood revitalization, trade with home countries, and more. Do you not see it that way in terms of New York?
Well, we on our website run a map that shows the real income, which factors in housing costs, standard of living. And the fact is people who have a high school degree or some college or don't have a high school degree are in the bottom 10 counties in America in terms of their real wages. This is not a great place to live in terms of cost of standard of living because the cost of living is so high.
Are you talking about New York?
Pardon?
Are you talking about New York in particular?
Yes, I'm talking about New York, yes. And this tends to be true in all of the cities where you have very high immigration. New York City is frankly a place where Americans who aren't really well well-to-do or really young and motivated don't really want to live because it's so expensive and the wages just don't keep up. So, yeah, I think New York City probably does depend a lot on immigration, but it's not exactly a compliment to New York City that its real wages are so low for the people who keep the city going.
But wouldn't they even be lower in Detroit and in Cleveland and in these cities that are sinking without the large numbers of immigrants that New York City has?
Interestingly enough, the real wages for people with a high school degree in Cleveland and Detroit are higher than they are in New York. Cleveland actually is in pretty good shape, but Detroit has all kinds of issues and other problems. The thing is their problem is not as much what the average wage of their workers is. Their problem is that people have moved out, and that that does cause other problems. But the thing is that New York is kind of a special case, but most Americans have no desire to live like New Yorkers. And that's fine. New Yorkers choose to live that way, but most Americans don't want to.
Last thing, another case for immigration from the numbers is that we need working age adults in this country. A big difference between the U.S. and Europe and the U.S. and Japan is we take in many more immigrants, keeping our Social Security and Medicare systems more possible. Europe and Japan are facing government debt crises, as everyone knows, and it's in part because they have aging populations with low birth rates without the youthful immigration that the U.S. has to keep the worker to retiree ratio more manageable, plus the innovation that young workers bring with them, too. Do you not see, if you're a numbers-based organization, those things as being important?
Yeah, the numbers actually show that immigration brings the average age of the population down maybe about a year or a half a year. What really keeps our workforce high is that we have a birth rate that's near replacement level, whereas Europe has one that's, instead of 2.1, is maybe around 1.3, 1.4. The thing is, immigrants all age. And so they all become also debits on the Social Security system. And because immigrants on average make much less than Americans, they actually cause a problem with the Social Security system rather than solving the issue. The way to solve Social Security problems is not to import more labor, especially more lower income labor. And, the earlier caller was talking about high skill labor, but the fact is most immigration has no connection at all to skills or to income or to education. It is purely chain migration. And that's why the Jordan Commission said we must have something more like what the ambassador was saying a little earlier, the foreign minister, which is at least there ought to be a commission that every year says, should we have 1 million immigrants a year? Maybe we should just have 100,000 this year. Maybe next year it's 500,000. We're on autopilot, and the 20 million Americans who are looking for a job and cannot find one deserve better treatment from their government than they have their government every year giving out another 1 million permanent work permits.
Roy Beck, executive director of the group Numbers USA, which advocates for large-scale reductions in the numbers of legal immigrants to the United States. We heard earlier from Jorge Castaneda, the former foreign minister of Mexico, a Latin American and Caribbean studies professor at NYU Now. Thank you very much, Roy Beck.
Thank you.
Brian Lehrer on WNYC. That's it for 30 Issues in 30 Days, Issue 19. All this week, it's issues of foreign affairs, America and the world. Tomorrow, we'll talk about the United States and China. Issue 20 in our 30 Issues in 30 Days presidential election series. See all the 30 Issues material at WNYC.org/issues. Coming up next, today's Nobel Prize for Economics and what it has to do with where New York City kids go to high school. Stay with us.